Steve, you were covering Algor Island Trust as well, correct? Don't matter. Albert Hall was in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'm Ed Bearer. I'm representing Mr. Hall. I have questions for Mr. Baldridge, just a few. Let's get back to my notes. He was the first presenter this evening, I believe. Mr. Baldridge, I apologize. I'll try to speak more directly into the mic. Mr. Baldridge, you identify yourself as the Senior Vice President of Marketing.
Correct.
So what is your function with DCP as Senior Vice President of Marketing? What's the objective of your job?
What reports up to me are the marketing assets. That's the NGL pipelines, NGL fractionation facilities, our wholesale propane business, our NGL storage. So I'm responsible for the commercial and operational aspects of those assets.
So you're not a marketer in the common parlance of the word. You're not out there to build business to sell more propane or make accounts and things of that nature.
In terms of me personally, no. But the people that work in my organization are responsible for that.
And you're the senior vice president of that part of the organization.
Yes.
Okay. So you're in sales. Are you in sales?
The sales is within my organization. I also have the operations. I also have the business development, the commercial management of the assets. And sales is inside of that organization, correct?
You described the assets that DCP Midstream will bring to bear on this project, and I think if I understood your testimony, there's $2 billion worth of assets under DCP Midstream's control. Was that your testimony?
DCP Midstream Partners has approximately $2 billion worth of assets.
And what do those assets consist of? Not down to the dollar, but are we talking about plants such as the one that you're proposing here in Searsport, spread around the country, and other similar facilities?
So DCP Midstream Partners assets consist of NGL pipelines in Colorado, Louisiana, Texas, has natural gas processing plants in Louisiana and Texas, and has processing plants in Wyoming, pipeline in Colorado. It has an NGL storage facility in Michigan, has gas pipelines in Michigan, and then it has the wholesale propane assets that are the rail and truck terminals here in New England.
And of the $2 billion in assets, is there a percentage of that that is basically ready cash on hand as opposed to in the ground infrastructure like you've just described?
We certainly have cash on hand as well as credit facilities. Since DCP Midstream Partners is a publicly traded company, we file our financials with the SEC on a quarterly basis that outlines our cash on hand as well as our access to credit as well as what's in the hard assets.
So, and when you describe the $2 billion in assets, that doesn't include the $1 billion. The $1 billion in credit facility that you maintain, is that right?
It does not. No.
Okay. And that credit facility that you describe, is that what is outlined in this credit agreement? I'm showing you something that was submitted to the board at an earlier date. Yeah, I can show
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. I'm told that is what we submitted. That's correct.
And this is basically what a homeowner might consider a line of credit. Is that essentially what this is?
I think that's a fair explanation.
And do you know what the expiration date on this particular $1 billion line of credit is?
I don't know right offhand.
If I told you, if it's only 4 years from now, would that surprise you?
It would not. That's surprising. That's a not an uncommon business structure with banks.
Now, you say that DCP Searsport will have access to DCP Midstream's $1 billion credit facility. At least I was making notes as you were speaking. Is that an accurate statement?
That is correct. DCP submitted a letter tonight which gives affirmative evidence that DCP Searsport has access to DCP Midstream Partners' financial capabilities.
And it has, and I assume that DCP Searsport is just one of many subsidiaries of DCP Midstream?
DCP Searsport is one of many entities that is owned by DCP Midstream Partners.
And those other entities also have access to this same $1 billion credit facility?
That is a facility that is for the use of DCP Midstream Partners for all of its business.
For all of its business. So it's not as if there's $1 billion available for this particular development.
No, since it's a $50 million project, it's not contemplated that we need access to all $1 billion.
But DCP Searsport would have to stand in line with the other subsidiaries and have its request for funds evaluated alongside other facilities that are owned by DCP Midstream, right?
DCP Midstream Partners, so it's a company that has assets across the country. It provides financial support and capabilities for the business, the ongoing business. I mean, the point of the letter is just to make it clear that DCP Searsport is not an island of itself, but it is within the umbrella of DCP Midstream Partners and has the full support of DCP Midstream Partners in terms of its construction and operations.
And we've discussed the assets of DCP Midstream as being $2 billion worth of assets and $1 billion credit facility under the terms that we've just discussed briefly regarding this facility agreement. Are there liabilities that the company carries?
Sure. We file our financial statements every quarter with the SEC. We have liabilities and assets as a typical company would have.
And I'm kind of a new kid on the block here. Has that sort of financial statement been provided to the Searsport Planning Board?
I don't know that we've submitted that. It's something that we file quarterly as a public record. Certainly something we could provide.
But you haven't, right?
I don't think it's been requested, but we can certainly do that.
Well, I have a few questions for... I have a few questions for Dr. Raj. Is it Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with my client, Mr. Hall's property and its proximity to the proposed site?
No, sir.
You're not. How close, if you were in the restaurant and motel business, how close would you want your site to be to this tank?
I'm not in the restaurant business. I'm in the consulting business, and so I wouldn't be able to answer your question. I'm sorry. I can't put myself in the shoes of a restaurateur. I don't know what inventory he has, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's assume that you're consulting to Mr. Hall, and he says there's this, is it 22 million or 42 million gallon?
It's going to be 22.
22 million gallon facility like DCP contemplates. And he's thinking of building a restaurant and a motel about 400 feet from that tank. Would you tell him that's a good idea?
It depends on the question that he asked me. What is a good idea? What is a good idea? What do you mean by good idea?
Is it safe?
Is it safe? If the question asked is it safe, I would say yes. I have lived in my home within 30 feet of a 500-gallon pressurized LP tank. Well, tell me about it. I mean, people are concerned about that. They have it right in McDonald's, right next to it, and we do go to McDonald's all the time. And we go to hospitals. Hospitals have liquid oxygen. We don't go to hospitals because there's a liquid oxygen tank. I think you have to be concerned with the risks of it, which means how often something can happen, what kind of safety procedures are included, and what emergency responses are there. So I cannot answer the question simply if you ask something and say, is it blue or red? I just cannot answer that question. I'm sorry.
In your preparation for this evening's presentation and your handouts and all, Did anyone from the DCP team tell you that there was a motel and a restaurant within 400 feet?
That was not the scope of my work. The scope of my work is consider all the possible releases and see how far the statutory and regulatory and standards requirements are in terms of its safety for people.
And
buildings can withstand a lot more heat than people. So the building criterion, as you can see, in fact, in NFPA 59A or 49 CFR, is 32 kilowatts per meter squared. I have exposed myself to 13 kilowatts per meter squared, and it's very hot. You have to run away. So buildings can withstand a lot more.
Let me just stick with one of your presentations for the moment. You had the slide that showed. I think I got it here. The pages may be a little different. The one that it was page 10. It's the one that shows the vapor clouds.
Okay.
Can you? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
What's the scale on that thing there?
This is a schematic diagram. There's no scale. That depends on how big the dike is and how much vapor is coming out of it, at what rate, and what the wind conditions, what the atmospheric stability conditions, whether it is early morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, or noontime when everything is being churned around in the atmosphere. This is just a schematic to show that there is always stratifications inside the cloud. It is not a uniform cloud. You have different concentrations at different lengths, and the distance to which it goes is also dependent on how fast things are coming out. Maybe if I can use this excuse. Let me use the laser. How fast is liquid evaporating here? That depends on what the ground conditions are. There are too many things, variables here. This is a schematic representation of what it is. I didn't say any miles or feet or centimeters here. So
I see. And so you don't have any distances, miles, feet, centimeters, and we don't know how fast the wind is blowing or the time of day, and whether it's sunny or cloudy or anything of that nature.
No, sir. I do have those things in the handout calculations that are provided. I didn't want to give you a whole bunch of Excel sheet calculations on a screen here, which would not be very effective for people, that's all.
So in this schematic, though, where is the tank? Where is the tank from which the LPG is spilling and creating those vapors or clouds?
This is a representation of a generic dispersion of a heavy vapor generated from a liquid that's boiling in a contained area. Whether there is a tank or not, I don't care. In fact, I have done experiments actually spilling LNG into a dike like this, 6 feet and 20 feet diameter. Let me put it this way. From a truck that was standing here, dumped the whole thing, and the truck was pulled out. So there is no need for a tank or anything. It's just what happens if it's a liquid. This could be, any liquid that produces vapor by boiling.
So this schematic has nothing to do with a proposed tank in Searsport and the dispersion characteristics of the LPG vapor cloud that might escape from it.
No, it has everything to do with it. That's what the schematic is all about. I don't have numbers. The numbers are in the tables that I've provided the planning board.
Do you have those numbers in front of you?
I don't have it here. I can look it up.
No. Where I'd like to go with this is, can you tell me where my... Let's assume, just assume, work with this assumption if you can, doctor, that the tank is probably on the left-hand side of that vapor cloud. Sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I got interrupted by something.
So we see the wind blowing from left to right across the screen there, right? Do I understand that?
In the schematic, yes. It could be blowing from right to left if I mirrored the picture the other way around. So that is no representation of which way the wind is blowing. The wind is blowing left to right simply because the vapors get carried downwind.
Right, right. The wind is blowing from left to right, and so the vapor cloud is going to move from left to right.
Correct.
All right. So if its source of generation is to the left side of that screen, the vapor cloud is going to flow to the right. Correct?
Correct.
All right. And So the size of that cloud and the dispersion area that it covers is going to be a function in part of the wind, which way the wind is blowing. Is that right?
Correct.
Right. Do you have any idea what the prevailing winds are in the vicinity of my client's property or the tank?
Let me also say that the higher the wind speed, the faster the dilution of the vapor, the shorter the distance to the lower flammability limit. So just by saying wind direction, it is not enough. You've got to tell me what wind speeds are, what other obstructions there are. This is all mixing things. You know, you can put sugar into your coffee and mix it, and it mixes very well because of turbulence. If you just let it sit there, it will sit forever. So I think I have a hard time understanding the question. This is a schematic, and I've given the numbers. Oops, why is this? I've given the schematic to explain how things might look. Excuse me. Okay. I think it's much. No. Okay, I think I've explained this as a schematic. Just to give you an idea of what it is, you can call it a cartoon if you want. Basically, it is representing how a heavy vapor generated by a liquid disperses in the ground. If you ask me distances, you've got to give me all kinds of other things, and those are complicated calculations. I can't give you an answer yes or no today to your client's location.
So you can't tell me if that vapor cloud would envelop Mr. Hall's property or not in your schematic?
Schematics don't give you distances. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's your schematic. I don't know what it... Okay. So, now, there's another screen I'd like you to look at, and it's my number 12. It's this document here that's entitled TNT Equivalent Vapor Cloud Explosion Hazard.
We're going to change seats.
That one's too hot for you. Dr. Rod?
Yes, sir.
This one?
Yes, I'm looking for that in
okay.
My perspective. Yeah, hold on.
There you go. There you go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else hear me?
Yeah.
I guess I just got to talk right like this.
Try enunciating. That wasn't supposed to be funny.
What?
I've been heckled by better. Okay.
Move along with it, though.
Dr. Raj, Mr. Hall's properties, his motel and his restaurant, are within 0.11 miles of this vapor cloud explosion hazard distance for sump releases that you got up on the screen there. So what does that mean? What is he going to experience under these circumstances?
First of all, this was a required calculation for hazard assessment per RMP. I'm not subscribing to the statement that you're ever going to have a cloud explosion like this. Okay, let me put it that way. Because all of the experiments that have been done in the open with clouds being ignited have not exploded. Having said that, what does it mean? It's a 1 psi overpressure. That number 1 psi overpressure is dictated by RMP in calculating the hazards. So whether that is actually the correct number or not, I don't know. That's a regulation number. So 1 psi overpressure, you can have partial breakage of glass between 1 and 2 psi overpressure. Overpressure lasts for fairly short durations of time. You're talking to milliseconds. It's not a pressure that's applied forever. So this is like a blast wave getting, going by. So 1 psi overpressure says that there may be partial demolition of your wooden walls, partial between 1 and 2 psi. So that's the criteria.
So that's what he would likely experience under that chart there.
If you believe the required calculation procedures that have been indicated in RMP. By the way, RMP is for not citing purposes at all. That was not the intent of the RMP. It is for emergency response. That is why it's called a risk management plan. So, I have my own doubts about whether that should be applicable to a citing criterion, as indeed we are discussing here. So that's for a different day. But if you do the calculations as is required, that number 0.11 miles comes in, and you go to the chart and say, what is a 1 PSI? I'm going to parrot the numbers that are, parrot the information that's in the literature. It says 1 to 2 PSI glass breakage and partial breakage of the walls.
Okay. Finally, you began your presentation by telling us that if there was spilled liquid, it would be conveyed as far as possible from the tank. Do you recall that statement?
Yes, indeed.
Why would it be conveyed as far as possible away from the tank?
Can you give me a minute? I want to read from NFPA 58 code. That's required. You have to actually grade your dike, also provide channels for conveying any liquid that is released near the tank to the sump. It's
right.
A requirement. Therefore, they'll be complying with that requirement. So if you spill a liquid anywhere, it will be conveyed to the sump.
Why is that necessary? Why would the regulations require that?
Because you don't want liquid close to the tank.
Why?
Because if there is a fire, the tank should not be affected, and some other appurtenances should not be affected.
Okay.
It's a safety requirement.
All right. Is this tank penetrable by a terrorist weapon?
I'm not an expert in terrorism, sir, so I don't know what weapon you're talking about, So unless you're very clear about what it is, and even if that is the case, I don't think I'll be able to answer. I'm aware of some of the incidents that have happened with LPG tankers overseas, and none of them have had any kind of explosions, because when any kind of a incendiary device enters a tank with liquid, it gets quenched. You don't burn a liquid, you burn vapor. When you have a pool fire, it is not the liquid that's burning. The liquid is evaporating and the vapor mixes with air. First of all, without air mixing, you cannot burn anything. So when you penetrate a tank and something goes inside the liquid, it will not have any effect.
So let me just ask you this then, and I'll finish up, Mr. Proger. If somebody with a design to do harm rented a room in a motel 400 feet away and had a device of some sort that would blow a hole through the bottom of that tank, would anything come out of the tank?
If you blow a hole in any tank, even water tank,
mm-hmm.
things will come out.
Okay, so stuff's coming out now because the hole's just been blown in the bottom of the tank. And then there's another device that creates a fire. Mm-hmm. Then what's going to happen if that device comes in contact with that material that's flowing out of the tank?
So we could postulate any of the theoretical ifs and buts, but I think you'll have to look at the practical things. If a terrorist comes to see us port and stays in a motel with some kind of a weapon, I think we've all failed in our citizenship.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. This one on? Nope. Okay. Got it going? Conclude those. The Prince of Sieve Island already covered in here. These two gentlemen right now, yes. All right.